Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Last year on Holy Trinity Sunday, Gretchen, Kate, and I went to church in Palo Alto, California. It was a beautiful morning in a beautiful small church that seats less than 100 people, but the sound and the faith in that church are as big as they come. The pastor, Stuart Crown, is the same pastor that was there when I was there as a vicar 14 years earlier. And there were a few gray hairs, more than he had before, but still a great preacher and friend. The people, with a few exceptions, including the rotating vicar, were the same as were there when I was there 14 years earlier as vicar. My friends, the elders, the same. Same choir director, Sally Treadway. Same choir. Same organist, Marilyn Taddy, who happened to be the former pastor's wife, now a widow. People tend to stick around in Palo Alto, California. In the words of a hymn from our hymnal, "Thou changest not, O Trinity." And Trinity Lutheran Church is the name of that beautiful little church in Palo Alto, California. And it was fun to be there on Holy Trinity Sunday. The service that day was a lot like ours, beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and ending with the Trinitarian benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace. And in the middle, we confessed the Athanasian Creed, that once-a-year tongue twister where Lutherans are reminded that they actually belong to the Catholic Church, minus the Roman. And lowercase c, please. Plus, we'll pass on the Pope. Thank you very much for offering. The Creed does not require unity under the Pope, and the Word of the Lord knows not of that either. But the Word and the Creed knows whom we worship and confess, the true unity of the Church. Not under popes or councils or Luthers or Calvins or Billy Grahams, but in the unity of the Trinity and the Trinity in unity. And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another. With each other are co-equal, the three persons co-eternal, so that in all things, as been stated above, the Trinity in unity. And the unity in Trinity is to be worshipped. Friends, that is the God that we worship. Not the big guy upstairs. Not your buddy and self-help guru. And not the God that looks and acts a lot like you do. Isaiah saw him. In the year King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, angels. With two wings they covered their face, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And at Trinity Lutheran Church in Palo Alto, California, there is a triptych altarpiece which proclaims the words that the angels chant back and forth, these words, "Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Sabaoth. The whole earth is mellow, full of his glory, Kabadoth." If I speak in tongues, forgive me, last week was Pentecost. I get a little leeway, don't I? Trinity Lutheran's altarpiece is a little different than Isaiah's vision, yet it is remarkably the same. Isaiah doesn't tell us much of what the Lord on the throne looked like, except that he is high and lifted up. Some saints of old at Trinity Lutheran took a clue from those words, high and lifted up, and depicted there the throne of Jesus' cross. Holy, holy, holy now describes Jesus, with his hands outstretched in blessing, robed as a great high priest, and a glorious crown on his head. the one who prayed to the Father and gave up his spirit so that his lifeless body would be put in the grave, and that by the power of the Trinity, he would destroy death and make your grave a holy place, a portal to paradise. That's exactly why Peter stood up that day on Pentecost in the words of the sermon that pastor-elect John Engwall read to us today from the book of Acts. Peter said, "This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him," citing Psalm 16, "I saw the Lord." It sounds just like Isaiah, doesn't it? "Always before me, he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you make me full of gladness with your presence. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God made him both Christ and Lord, this Jesus you crucified." In other words, Jesus is the Lord Isaiah saw in his vision some 700 years before Jesus came to be. Which by nature is impossible, but not with God, the Holy Trinity, with whom all things are possible, and in this case, provable by his resurrection. And hence we confess in the Athanasian Creed, it is the right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God and is at the same time both God and man. He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man, born of the Virgin Mary, of his mother in this age. Perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and of human flesh, equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity. Although he is God and man, he is not two, but one Christ. And I tell you all this today, not because I like history and philosophy, but because God revealed the mystery of the Holy Trinity in the Old Testament before Jesus revealed the fullness of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The fullness of that holy, holy, holy Lord. And God wants us to see it too, to see the Trinity on every page of Holy Scripture. All those little glimpses that he gives to prepare us for the big gulp of eternal life. Peter preached about this Christ, the Trinity. The Athanasian Creed was written to help preserve the truth of the mystery of Jesus being a part of that Holy Trinity for all time. As our fathers handed down to us so that we too may believe and confess with the whole Christian church on earth that the Spirit keeps together with Christ in the one true faith and reminds us that our faith and deeds matter. Those who believe rightly in the Trinity and those who have done good will enter eternal life. And those who have done evil will enter eternal fire. I know this makes us nervous as Lutherans because it sounds a little bit like works righteousness right there, and something that the Catholics believe, and maybe this creed belongs to the Catholics and not to Lutherans. But just remember, these are words very much like Jesus, who said the very same about the last judgment. Those who have done good enter eternal life. Those who have done evil, into the eternal fire. You have a problem with it, we have to talk to Jesus about that, do we not? but we discern from God's word even more. Just remember that it is only those who do good, who have already believed in the Son who suffered for our salvation. The same Lord whom Isaiah saw with despair about his own word and works. From the altar of the Holy Trinity, they sent out burning coal that cleansed Isaiah's lips, atoning for his sin. Thus, all his words and works were good in God's sight. And Isaiah, in loving response to what God had done graciously for him, when asked by the Lord, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Isaiah pointed then to John Engwall and said, "There he is, send him." No, Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." God sends his messengers to tell the truth of his grace so that others too may hear and believe. The Trinity sends forth his forgiven people to dwell in a land of unclean lips, to serve them with the knowledge that saves sinners. God's grace, not our works. God's Son, our Savior, not our strength or our savvy, but his sacrifice, his wounded side, his full payment for our sins, and his rising again to life for us. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. May the grace of the Holy Trinity be on your lips today in worship, and in your heart sincerely, and revealed in a life of love for one another. For such is the desire of the Holy Trinity whom we worship. And may the Trinity prompt strength in John Engwall to be his next Isaiah for Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Aiken, South Carolina. Here is John, Lord. Send him as you have sent us, and reveal to us Jesus as the true sent one who saves for all time and eternity. In his holy triune name, amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.